This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Hoosier Huddle podcast. I'm your host, Sammy Jacobs. TJ Inman will be along with us shortly. Welcome to Old Oaken Bucket Week as Indiana is getting ready to take on Purdue after a narrow loss up at Michigan. Indiana fell to the number 4 Wolverines 31-20. We'll touch on that game and everything that happened up in Ann Arbor, and then we'll get down to nitty-gritty against Purdue with a bowl on the line in the Old Oaken Bucket game for the second year in a row. Indiana and Purdue come into this game at 5-6. Needing a win to get bowl eligible. Indiana needed a win to get bowl eligible 4 years in a row heading into this game. So the stakes are high. The players know it. The coaches know it. And I can't believe the end of the season is almost here. TJ, how are you on this chilly, damp evening here in Indianapolis?
Doing great. Excited for Thanksgiving and, of course, fired up for the bucket.
Yeah, it's season. It goes by so quickly. It's felt like it's flown by outside of that open week. But Indiana sitting at 5-6, coming up there. Before we get to the bucket, let's touch upon Indiana's game up at Michigan. A 31-20 defeat against the number 4 Wolverines. The big noise out of Ann Arbor was. The Michigan fans, Michigan players thought Indiana were taking cheap shots at Michigan all game. You know, both sides were getting a little chippy after the play. Stepniak had his ankle stepped on by Chase Winovich, and then Stepniak took finished his block, so to speak, against Chase Winovich. He ended up leaving the game and is questionable against Ohio State. This coming up week, and then another play clearing a pile, which he got flagged on, which I thought was the right call right after putting Winovich in the ground. But that was the play that you knew that the fans, 110,000 people, were booing the referees. And we all know Big Ten referees are going to throw the flag right after that, looking for something, anything, to penalize Indiana as driving down the field. And Simon Stepniak has to know that even if God forbid, he sneezed on the person, they were going to throw a flag on that. And, you know, he hit the guy late near the pile, and you can't do that. And then Cam Jones is called for targeting later in the game on a kickoff. And I really hope Berkeley Edwards is okay. And it seems like he is. He tweeted from, I guess, the hospital or from wherever he was. On Sunday, saying that, you know, his head still hurt, but he was doing much better. So that's good news. But as far as that targeting goes, you know, he did lower his head, and the crown of the helmet is no longer just the top part of your head. It is also, you know, the top of the face mask on up, and he did hit him, but he did extend his hand, and it was a big hit. And a hit, they're probably trying to get out of that game on a kick return. And unfortunately, it knocked the guy out. I thought it was a soft targeting call in terms of that's the hit you're penalizing. But it is what it is. And the biggest loss is that he's now out. Cam Jones is now out for the first half against the Purdue. By no means do I think Indiana played a totally clean game. Holier than thou, Michigan fans on their high horse to stop. They need to stop because your team wasn't clean either. Just glad nobody else got seriously hurt and they can move on. Tom Allen said that Simon Stepniak is they're handling it internally. There is, you know, he'll probably run after practice for what he did, but he's not going to apologize for playing tough. And to me, this is Michigan fans and players getting hit in the nose and not liking it. Nobody likes to get hit in the face. Maybe except some boxers or whatever, but nobody likes getting hit in the face, and they're not used to it. And Indiana came out with aggressive, hit Michigan in the nose, and that's that. But as far as the game goes, I thought Indiana played energetic. It looks like after that open week, Indiana has a renewed sense of energy. It seems like Tom Allen's whole speech has injected some life into the team. And it was a spirited fight up in Ann Arbor. Ultimately, a loss for the 52nd consecutive year up in Ann Arbor. Not 52 in a row, but they haven't won up there since 1967. I thought they played well. Steve Scott ran the ball well outside of the football. The offensive line played really well in run blocking, pass protection. You know, Ramsey had no shot. Most of the night getting set up in the pocket. When he did, he threw a tip ball through one pick. He ran the ball as well as he has all year. And I thought that was a big factor. And if he do that, he looks healthy. If he could do that, it adds so much to this offense. Defensively, Indiana, they gave up yards, another game over 500 yards, but they stopped them in the red zone, held them to 6 field goals. They stuffed them on a red zone try to end the half on a really, really nice tackle by Devin Matthews, and then just allowed the one touchdown. So if you go back and say maybe Michigan scores half of those touchdowns, and you know you're talking about a game that's 42-20 or even more lopsided. So that Indiana defense is bend don't break. They're dealing with a lot of youth. You see that youth, James Miller, is playing well, a reserve linebacker, is a true freshman, and all that. So what are your thoughts coming out of the game, TJ?
Well, you know, in my opinion, Indiana played as physical of a game as I can remember them playing. I thought they played with much more of a purpose on defense. I thought the tackling was, while not perfect, I thought it was much better than what we saw against Maryland. And I would like to point out that, you know, perhaps, you know, yeah, well, perhaps we should, you know, give the Maryland offense a little bit more credit than what we did coming out of that Maryland game, particularly Anthony McFarland, who followed up his stellar performance against IU with nearly record-setting performance against the Ohio State defense. I mean, he torched them even worse than he did Indiana. Now, that does not excuse IU's poor tackling in that game. I don't care who they were going against. They did not tackle very well against Maryland, and it wasn't perfect against Michigan. But it was better. It was an improvement. It was a big step in the right direction. And from a strictly physical standpoint, I thought that IU had, kind of the exact mindset you want to have repeated this Saturday. I thought that the offense, you know, I think the line did a very good job protecting Peyton Ramsey against one of the nation's best defensive and really doing a good job opening up holes for Stevie Scott. There were very few negative plays, which was a big plus. The biggest negative play that stands out just in my mind in the running game was, I thought, more on the play call, a kind of a confusing option play that was run that blew up in IU's face. I thought that, you know, that was more on the play call than it was the line. I thought when the line was asked to block for Stevie Scott, they did a really good job, and Stevie had himself a really nice showcase game and setting himself up as Indiana's all-time best freshman season. So for a running back, definitely not just a promising, bright future for him, but kudos to Mike Hart for the work he's done with him. And kudos to Stevie Scott for the season he's had, and hopefully will continue to have on Saturday against Purdue. I agree with you. Ramsey's running was a positive. Hope to see more of that. Definitely seemed to catch Michigan off guard. And then, IU, when they took shots down the field, it went pretty well against the secondary that, I said in my preview, I don't think it's an overly talented Michigan secondary. I think their corners are very physical, and I think when they get away with it downfield, they're very good. But I think that there are opportunities for either speedy receivers or just big physical targets to overwhelm them. That's just the nature of the position in college. I just don't think there are hardly any secondaries in the country, if any, that are capable of standing up to really good receivers when the quarterback gives those really good receivers a chance. And I thought that when Indiana's receivers were given a chance down the field, they usually made the play. Would have liked to see a little bit more of that, but honestly, that's nitpicking. I thought IU did pretty much everything you could have asked them to do against Michigan. Where there are a couple opportunities missed, it could have given IU a chance to win that game. Yeah, there were, but overall, I thought IU played a very good game. Credit to Michigan for doing enough to get the win, ultimately somewhat comfortably for them. It wasn't the game that you really ever felt like IU was going to win, but it also wasn't a game that felt like it was getting out of hand either. So the Hoosiers, I thought, coming out of that one, we were worried about IU being beat up both mentally and physically. If they went to Ann Arbor, got shellacked, or had a bunch of guys that had to leave the game due to injury. As far as we know, Indiana comes out of it healthy, as healthy as they were when they went into it anyway. And they come out of it, I would think, kind of a renewed or increased level of confidence heading into the critical bucket game on Saturday.
Yeah, and they're supposed to get Raekwon Jones back, although Tom Allen has said that. He was emphatic about getting him back this week, and it sounds like they'll get him back, which will help the linebacking core. And the last thought on Michigan is –
Speaking of the linebacking core, I do want to point out before we move on from it, I thought Micah McFadden played a fantastic game in Ann Arbor. For a freshman linebacker that has had quite a bit of playing time but has not been an every down regular by any means, I thought that Micah went up there and really made a statement about the kind of career he could have at Indiana. He is not the most athletic guy, but he's not slow. I mean, he gets to the ball. He has very good instincts. And I think he's a very physical player that I don't know this for sure by any means. I'm not a tackling expert, but it seems to me like of all the linebackers, Mike McFadden might be the guy that I feel most secure about making an open field tackle if he's one-on-one.
And he's been a real revelation on defense too.
Yeah, I very, very impressed with his play, and I wanted to point that out before we moved on because I think that guy could be a real force on Indiana's defense for the next three seasons.
Yeah, he's been really good this season. I did think he got banged up in that game, but they should get him back. He got banged up against Maryland, and they got him back. So
got a club, right?
Let's get back to the bucket game. And this is a game that I know personally I've been waiting for a year to cover again after last year. Talking to the players today at Media Monday, it's been on their mind since this time last year. It's been on Tom Allen's mind. There are daily reminders for Indiana everywhere about that they lost to Purdue last year. That Purdue ended their season, kept them from a bowl game, just basically you know, put them in the dark for the rest of the season. Purdue goes on, wins the bowl game, or the talk of the Big Ten West, and everything that way. And Indiana has a chip on their shoulder this year to defend home turf, get the go to bowl game, while simultaneously ending Purdue's season, maybe even ending the Jeff Brohm era at Purdue, and getting a leg up on the recruiting trail. You know, whatever happens to Jeff Brohm, if he goes to Louisville, Purdue's again going to take a step back in terms of, you know, momentum. Now it depends on who they hire, but it's you're back to almost square one in terms of building a program and some momentum. So huge game in Bloomington. Tickets are still available. It's a noon kickoff on Saturday. Going to be televised on ESPN2, which I think is I like ESPN a lot better than Fox, based on what people have said on Twitter on the Fox broadcast. But in the radio booth on Saturday, Buck Soar, who is the analyst for IU's for football games, said something really interesting about how you don't really get the meaning of the trophy until it gets taken from. And that's something I asked players today about was, you know, does that resonate with you? Does that, you know, hit home? Did you take for granted that you had the bucket, especially the seniors who had it for 4 years, that they thought, oh, we could go in there and beat Purdue and just keep the bucket? And it did. And Jonathan Crawford was very candid about it, said, I didn't realize the significance of this game really until last year when he beat us, and how angry he was, and how that bitter taste in their mouth it still hasn't left, and they're going to take that, follow it up and go out and take their frustrations out on Purdue, hopefully. But this is, it's, you know, these games make the rivalry fun. There's a lot on the line for both squads. You know, if Purdue wins, they maybe send Brohm out on a high note, find somebody, go to a bowl game, maybe keep that recruiting class together. And then for Indiana, this is it is a monster, a very, very important milestone as a program. A win here, you get 6 wins after everybody wrote them off after the loss to Iowa, after the loss at Minnesota. Everybody was done with this team. You know, several outlets wrote that the season was over, just pack it up. Tom Allen, now I did put Tom Allen on the hot seat, but it wasn't, I didn't think he'd get panned, but it was, he needed to do some things to really solidify his position at IU, and it clicked during the open week, and he's been more aggressive. They faked that punt, which I like to see, but, you know, maybe his attitude has changed a little bit. But everybody had this team written off after the loss to Iowa and the loss to Minnesota, and just to come back, if they win this 6th game, go to a bowl game, you got 15 extra practices, which is huge for all these young players. You talk about the 55 freshmen, true and redshirt freshmen on this team. Those 55 practices are going to go far. And then you have big recruiting weekends. Signing day is, I believe, December 19th. You have big recruiting weekends during that December period, where if you get recruits on campus and they get to see a practice, it goes a lot further than just bringing them in, bringing them to a basketball game, showing them the facilities. If they could go watch a practice, see these guys coach, see these young players play, and things like that, it goes a long way. And then, of course, you know, playing an extra game, having a chance to get a winning season, win a bowl game for the first time, I think, in 26 years. It's when Tom Allen's first media day in Chicago, he said that's what he wanted, his goals are. You have a chance to check off 2 of those goals, winning season and a bowl win. Could be 2 of those marks that you check off. But it all starts on Saturday. They have to come out on fire. They cannot start the Bucs game like they did last year, where the team just the moment looked too big to them. They threw an early pick on that first drive, way down. Purdue was up 7-0 before you could blink. Raced out, I think, to a 30. It was either a 24-7 or 24-7, 24-10 at halftime. And, you know, Purdue never really was back. Now, the final score was 31-24, but that game was – it seemed over for much of the day. And now Indiana has a chance to turn the tables. And you couldn't ask for a more important game in recent IU history.
Absolutely. I mean, I you know, it's all on the table. From a schematic standpoint, starting early and starting fast, like you said, you know, that's important not just for Indiana, but it's a big barometer for David Blau as well. So far this season, it just seems like when he is unable to get into rhythm early, it turns into a long day for the Purdue offense. So that's a big one, and I think it's going to be very important for Indiana to bring pressure on Blau, make him uncomfortable. If you allow him to get comfortable in the pocket, he's accurate and good enough that he is going to pick you apart. And they obviously have dangerous weapons. Rondell Moore, of course, one that everybody knows about. You know, Isaac Zico is a player that has had a very nice senior season for them, a bit up and down, but he's very capable of particularly getting those deep balls and stretching the field. One matchup that I'm concerned about as an Indiana fan, Bryson Hopkins, their tight end that you know, reminds me a lot of Noah Fant in terms of his athleticism. I do think that they use Hopkins a lot better than Iowa has been able to use Fant so far this season. And I think that Indiana has done a very good job against tight ends this season. Zach Gentry had a nice game against the Hoosiers last week. You know, Hopkins hitting Indiana down the seam is something that I know Purdue's going to be looking for. So it's important for Indiana to watch out for that. And then, you know, just limiting Rondell Moore. You're not going to totally shut him down, but finding a way to limit his big plays, surrounding him and tackling him in the open field, you know, don't let those 5- and 10-yard plays turn into, you know, 70-yard touchdowns. If he gets into open space, he's very capable of making that happen. So, you know, the first man, slowing him down, keeping him up, and allowing or getting him down immediately, obviously, is ideal. But at the very least, slowing him down and letting more guys rally to the ball and getting him down, that's the key there. DJ Knox is a good running back and a player that Indiana's going to have to, again, have sure tackling on him. On the other side of the ball, Purdue's run defense has really collapsed here in the past few weeks. They have Minnesota carved them up, and Wisconsin, I mean, Jonathan Taylor had an absolute field day, 300-plus yards, and that was, you know, he didn't need just overtime to pile those things up. He was good against them all day. Now, Wisconsin and Minnesota are two very good running teams, but I think Indiana's capable of having a very nice day on the ground. Stevie Scott, and what I hope to see is more of the Peyton Ramsey that we saw, you know, running those effective quarterback draws where the receivers clear out the middle of the field and Ramsey's able to pick up big yards up the middle. And I continue to think that getting the ball to Reese Taylor for him to be able to make plays in the open field is something that this Indiana offense has just chosen for whatever reason, and I'm sure there's a good one. I just don't know what it is, not tapping into. It just has not made sense to me, and I would love to see him hurt Purdue because I think that the plays will be there for IU to make. And then Purdue's secondary is not bad, but I do think that without their safety, Jacob Thiedemann, without him in there, Purdue has really struggled on defense, and he will not play against Indiana. It'll be his third straight game missed. He missed Minnesota. He missed Wisconsin. They called him the captain or not the captain, but the quarterback of the defense prior to him going out. They've certainly looked like a defense without a leader out there. They've been really bad the last 2 weeks. I'm sure they'll play better on Saturday. I don't expect Indiana to just be able to march up and down the field, but I do think that IU's offense will be able to have a nice day. Now, something that I hope continue to see is the aggressiveness from the Hoosiers. Do not come into this game thinking how huge of a game it is and how important it is to not have mistakes early and just play it safe. You have got to attack, and that means getting the ball deep to Westbrook, Timian, Donovan Hale, Ty Freifogel. Get those guys an opportunity to make plays, and I think they will. They've done that most of the season. When Indiana has given them a chance, they have made those plays. You know, do that, mix that in with your consistent running by Stevie Scott, and I think the Hoosiers will have a nice day on offense. On defense, I fully expect IU to give up a lot of yards to Purdue. It's a good offensive team. But corral Rondale Moore and prevent him from getting those huge plays. Just keep him to having a good day instead of an outstanding day. Keep that from happening. Prevent Bryson Hopkins from burning you consistently, up the seam, and get to David Blough and prevent him from being comfortable. I think IU can do a good enough job of preventing Purdue from scoring in the red zone. That's been what IU has been effective at these past 2 weeks, and it's why they were competitive against Michigan, and it is absolutely why they beat Maryland. Prevent Purdue from scoring touchdowns. Field goals are not going to beat you in this game. So force Purdue into field goals and then continue to be aggressive on offense. And just go into the game having the mindset that this Purdue defense is there for the taking if you can pound them on the ground. And I think IU's offensive line needs to come in with the mindset that they will be the best unit on the field that day and make it happen. It's all there for the taking. It really is. And if Indiana, I mean, you really think about it, if Indiana is able to beat Purdue, take the bucket back, reach a bowl game, while you look at all the things they've gone through this season, Morgan Ellison doesn't play at all. Cole Guest barely plays. Michael Penix, who a lot of people before the season were fully expecting to take over as quarterback, he doesn't play much, and then as soon as he starts to play and you really get excited about it, he's out for the year. You look at those offensive weapons that have been lost during the season, and if you can find a way to get to a bowl game, I think you look at that as a success of a season. Anyone that is going to nitpick it, say otherwise, say what's deserved or not deserved, I don't think it's living in reality of college football or life as it is in the Big Ten East.
Yeah, and you hate to look at it as you're automatically starting the year on four, but if you take those the four,
especially
of the
this
Big
year, because I mean, Penn State, and Michigan State were beatable this year. I'm not, you know, we don't want to make it sound like that they were just unbeatable forces. But look, they're better teams than Indiana is. That's reality. Those are not games Indiana should have won. So, you know, you just have to be realistic about that.
Yeah, and on any given year, you could just pencil those in as four losses. So you're asking Indiana to be 6-2 the rest of the way, at minimum, get bowl eligible this year. You look at Indiana's opponents. Virginia is a 7-win team. They're a couple plays away from being in the ACC tie game after losing to Georgia Tech last week. FU needs a win and some help to be in the Conference USA title game. So you look at they beat, you know, outside of Ball State, those two teams are pretty good teams. So, you know, if you go 6-2 the rest of the way outside of those four, it's a pretty big accomplishment for this team in the event, then to get seven with the bowl game. And this is, we've been to 11 bowl games in 131 years. So there's less than 10% of the time. And fans need to maybe that drilled in their head a little bit in terms of just how important it is to get to a bowl game and make it three out of four years, and just look at these seasons not just as individual seasons, but as seasons that you could piece together and block together, and you know maybe 3 out of 4 becomes 4 out of 5, 5 out of 6, 6 out of 7, maybe 7 out of 9, and 8 out of 10, and things like that. And it starts on Saturday, and you gotta get that sixth win, and this is a huge game, and you know your fans got to show up. Now ticket sales, at least online, don't look great. Some ticket sales it's picked up since last week, but there are plenty of open seats right now at Memorial Stadium. You look at last year, Purdue's in the same boat, same thing. Although the weather was probably much better last year than it looks this year, they sold out that place and they were ready to go. So IU fans who are staying home, not buying tickets, there's a 2-1 deal going on, saying, they're not winning. You're playing into a bowl game, which everybody's been complaining about for the last 10 years. Oh, we don't go to bowl games. Okay, well, the Detroit Bowl is not good enough. It's time to put up or shut up. You're either a team or you're not, and it's ride or die time when it comes to fans. And I get the frustration. I understand it. I'm a fan of the teams. I love the Jets and I love the Knicks, and I get it. I understand how frustrating it is to root for bad products on the field and on the court. But if the Knicks were in the playoffs and there were open seats, or the Jets made the playoffs for me and the Colts, I'm going to the game. I'm, you know, watching on TV if it's in New York. But if they're playing the Pacers, playing the somewhere close, I'm going. Because it doesn't happen that often. So my challenge to the fans this week is show up, be loud. I know it's Thanksgiving for the students, and hopefully Indiana does the right thing. Open the dorms up, get some of these local students to come back on Saturday, Friday night, Saturday, maybe do something special for the students who come back, and you have a nice student crowd who's loud, and hopefully the alumni base shows up as well. Because if the stadium has a crowd like they had against Maryland and the other games this year, it's just a bad look. Optics wise, and Purdue is waving in IU's fans' face for a year. Hey, we beat you. We went to a bowl game. We beat Ohio State. We beat Iowa. Well, they also show up, and they showed up before they beat Ohio State. They showed up before they beat IU last year. They showed up before they beat Iowa, and they showed up after they lost to Eastern Michigan, and before they knocked off 3 teams this year. So the challenge is on the fans too. You got to take this game for what it is. It's a game now. 5-6-6. Sure, you could say it's mediocre, but as we touched upon, TJ, it's a huge step in the right direction for Indiana, bridging the success under the last 2 years of Kevin Wilson to the first 2 years of Tom Allen, and maybe break that trend of, switching coach and all that stuff. So, big game. I think Indiana, you run on the red zone defense, if you hold them to field goals. The problem with that was that Indiana let too many drives into the red zone last week. 8 drives inside their 20 and 6 field goals. So that's 18 points. That's just too many points. He drives inside the red zone. Now they're lucky; they played well in the red zone. It would have been a far greater margin of defeat, but you gotta keep him out, and maybe you see IU play that shell defense that they played against Maryland. Keep everything in front of them, make tackles, strip the ball, get those takeaways. Takeaways, Tom Allen said, are going to be huge this week because Purdue is a good offense. They're averaging slightly over 32 points per game. They put up 460 yards per game, and you got to get the ball back. You got to stop them however you can, and you know, hopefully they can do that.
Yeah, I just, you know, I've thought a lot about this one. I didn't focus much on Michigan because I don't have to. You know, I don't have to focus on, you know, every game's. You know, the next game is the most important one because it's, you know, the next one you're playing. I don't have to think that way. So, you know, the players need to, the coaches need to, we as fans, we don't have to. So I've been thinking about this Purdue game and focused on that when I've watched every Purdue game this season, you know, not just because I knew how critical it was going to be for Indiana, but just because I have a vested interest in that program, just because their success and their status of the program is so tied to Indiana's within, you know, recruiting battles and fan perception and all that. It just makes it for a very interesting follow. Purdue, I think, is the better team. I do think Purdue is better on a just a one-game basis than Indiana. That being said, the Purdue that has been on the field for multiple of their games this season certainly has a lower floor than what Indiana does. I'm telling you right now, if the Purdue that played on the road at Minnesota shows up, or the Purdue that played at Michigan State shows up, Indiana wins the bucket. Purdue has not good on the road this season. If that's the Purdue that shows up in Bloomington on Saturday, Indiana is going to beat them, and it will be more than a nail-biter. It won't be a blowout, but it would be more than a nail-biter because Purdue was – really bad against Minnesota. Indiana would beat that Purdue by 30 points. And they were not very good on offense against Michigan State. Actually, they were really bad. Now, Purdue has a higher ceiling than Indiana does. When Purdue plays really well, I think that they're capable of clicking at a level that IU has not this season. Very clearly, that occurred against Ohio State, and it occurred to on offense against Iowa. So, you know, they are a very tough team to figure out, and I don't think that there is any money to be had predicting this game one way or the other. Since we always do a prediction on this site or on our podcast, I'll go ahead and throw one out there. I have seen Indiana in this type of game so many times. That it becomes very hard for me to predict anything other than a heartbreaking defeat. Now, in my heart, I 100% believe Indiana is going to win this game. 100% believe it. But in my head, I really have no idea. After watching Indiana for every game and watching Purdue for every game, I really have no clue what's going to happen. I think it is a true 50-50 toss-up that's just going to come down to which team makes those few critical plays on Saturday to get the job done. And I really don't know. If forced to make a prediction, I will take Indiana to win. And I think they do so 31-24. And I think that the weather is going to keep it from being a much higher scoring game. I think we're going to see a lot of yards. I think it's going to be very exciting, very stressful. And that somehow Indiana finds a way to get it done. But I have zero confidence in that pick and I won't claim to have called anything correctly if it happens to be lucky enough to be right. I just know I'll be cheering very hard for Indiana, hoping that they find a way to get it done. I think it's going to be a really, really entertaining game for the neutrals and for those that are emotionally invested in this game. I think it's going to be a very stressful Saturday.
Yeah, but that's what you ask for in college football. You want big games. You want you want the big fish on the line. It's going to be stressful. It's going to be – that's what makes sports fun, is the moments where you're anxious and your heart skips a beat when the ball is snapped, and that silence right before a big play happens, the ball's in the air. That's the high that sports fans are chasing. And it's going to be one of those games that's going to pull heartstrings and make you angry and happy and all the emotions in between. It's really going to be a really good game. So going for a prediction, I know you said that you're not in Indiana until they won again. Well, they won against Maryland, so I guess that
yep.
that promise was fulfilled on that. I'm going to take Indiana here.
Sure.
I'm going to take Indiana here home. I don't want to copy and say 31-24. I'm going to go 28-21 28-21 if the weather forecast stays as it is with the rain.
Right.
Well, you know what? It's going to be a higher scoring game. I'm going to go Indiana 38, Purdue 31. In that, it's just, the offense is Purdue's offense is too good not to put up points, and Indiana's running game and Purdue's defense is going to lead Indiana to put up points. But because I changed that, it is now going to be a 7-4 game for something crazy like that. But I'll go 38-31 IU. There's a lot of noise surrounding Purdue. Jeff Brohm rumors are only going to get louder. They're coming with a real crushing loss to Wisconsin. And I was
yep.
texting my fans earlier in the week who said, well, I wish Purdue won that game and they wouldn't have as much to play for. But had it been reversed, if Indiana had Michigan on the ropes like that and were up 24-13 and had a 97% chance of winning, we'd all be down on it. We'd go, this season's over. This team stinks. How can you blow like that? And we have no chance against Purdue. I think the last 2 weeks, the egg that they dropped up at Minnesota, and the blown lead against Wisconsin at home to get bowl eligible against a Wisconsin team who's not that good this year, playing with a backup quarterback and letting them come back like they did. And it goes both ways. You could only take so many punches before you give up. If Brohm is going to Louisville, nobody knows, because they're not going to wait around. If Dan Dockage's tweet was accurate, that he'll be announced as the head coach at Louisville on a week from today, then who knows what the players know. They have, it's just, there's a lot of noise going against Purdue. And if Indiana starts fast, and this is one of the keys we'll put in writing this week, is one of the keys is to get out to a fast start and put the dagger in them early. And if you could get up a couple, a score or two early and take their will, how much fight Purdue has is beyond me. Now, that they might very well fight back, and a cornered, wounded animal is the most dangerous. But the last 2 weeks, I was very interested to see how Purdue came out last week, and it took them a while to get going. It looked like, and then to just not finish the game how they wanted to is it's just, if I was a Purdue fan, I'd be a little bit worried about where mentally this team is at, especially after getting the doors blown off at Minnesota the week before. So I'll take Indiana 38, Purdue 31, and then we'll see. We'll see where they slot us in the bowl season, and hopefully don't send us out west because I can't. That trip's
right.
But anyway, it's going to be a fun week. We have a
for
lot
you
of
and every other IU fan.
Oh yeah, it is. It's so it's super expensive, and then you have the national title game there. It's just ridiculous. But what great content this week coming out on the Bucket Game. It's the final week of the regular season. I can't believe it's already here. But enjoy it. It's my message to Indiana fans. It's my message to Indiana fans last week. Enjoy it. Soak it up. It's, you know, 11 bowls in 130 years. Now you're doing it for the fourth straight year where bowl is on the line in the final week of the year. So enjoy the holiday Thanksgiving. Get ready for some of these rivalry games on Thursday night, Friday night, and Saturday. And just enjoy the final regular season of college football.
Absolutely. Yep, definitely. And, you know, hope everyone has a happy Thanksgiving and enjoys the multiple sporting events that are on, you know, this week and Thursday and Friday, certainly. And then, obviously, for Indiana football fans, the main event of Saturday. But, regardless of how that turns out, I just want to thank everyone for listening to us this season. And, you know, we'll be back on the podcast, success or failure, on Monday, hopefully to have a jubilant podcast. And if not, to attempt dissect a poor, very poor sad sack podcast on Monday. I don't want to even think about that show. So hopefully it's a good one, because that'll be a real rough one if they drop this game on Saturday.
Yeah, we'll do it Irish Wake style for those who partake in that.
Yeah,
in that stuff, we'll do it Irish Wake style. Either have a celebration on Monday or just, you know, a toast to the parted. But anyway, I do want to thank all our readers this year, record-setting year in terms of readership. And thank you guys enough. It makes our job a lot easier knowing people like what we read, and the comments and feedback have been fantastic for the most part, outside of the Michigan fans spamming our comment section the last, you know, 48, 72 hours. But thank
hey,
you guys.
Thanks for the clicks.
Yes, that's exactly what I wanted to respond. Thanks for the clicks. Thanks for the ad money. And we'll see you next year in Bloomington. But anyway, I thank you to the fans who read. I want to take a minute to thank the great staff we have at Hoosier Huddle. TJ, you do a tremendous job. Evan McShane with his power rankings and his features earlier in the year. We have Nathan Comp, who's done a fantastic job. He's one of our student interns, Riley Comp. It has stepped up big time. Laura Lee Shallow as well. They did a terrific job with their work. I can't thank them enough for their efforts this year as well. And I know I'm probably against other people, but our team's pretty big. It's a little small outlet. But, you know, you guys work tremendously hard, and I appreciate it and can't thank you guys enough for the work that you do. But anyway, keep following us on Twitter. Put at @Hoosier_Huddle. Website is HoosierHuddle.com. We'll have all your Bucket Game information. Lots of great content coming out this week on the Bucket Game. We've been waiting a year for this, and I don't want to push my week off from work, but Saturday is going to be a fun one to get ready for.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today. That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
1, 2, 3, 4. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.
When you make decisions for your company, you always look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing and shipping to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your process to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, books, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart if you sell online. Schedule package pickups through the dashboard and automatically see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers with rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are, even on the go. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other business decision makers with Stamps.com. Sign up at Stamps.com with code PROGRAM for a special offer that includes a 4-week trial, plus free postage, and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.